Welcome to King James Seminary. Today's lesson is entitled The Summary of the Law. And we'll be looking at, first of all, Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34 for the summary of the law that Jesus gave. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. Let's start off with reading it. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord,'" which is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love His neighbor as Himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Quote from 1 Samuel 15:22, that concept. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God," and no man after that durst ask him any question. this quotation of from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and on, 4 and 5, is basically the, quote, "Hear, O Israel," end quote. This is the Hebrew word shema, which means hear, and is a constitutional foundation of the Mosaic doctrine, or Mosaic law. For that, see Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, as well as Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Jewish teachers divide the law up into 613 different commandments, some prioritized as weighty. Weightiness gives credence to the degrees of punishment. And as we see, there are degrees of punishment on earth as is in hell, in a future judgment. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. And also in our text that we just read, in verse 31, "There is none other commandment greater than these." So, in other words, there are prioritized commandments. There, according to the Jewish scheme of things, there are 365 negative and 248 positive commandments of the law. However, the divine lawgiver simplified it down to only two. And those two constitute both tables of the law. The first table concerns our love of God. And the second table, our love for others. It's interesting here, to note that the law, the tables of the law in the Old Testament, were kept under the mercy seat. that is rather symbolic. The entire New Testament emphasizes God's love for us, not our love for Him. Our love falls short in comparison as a great gulf fixed. See Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9 for this concept. Isaiah 55, verse 9, which reads, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, this definitely shows the difference between us and God, His ways being holy and righteous, and our ways being unholy and unrighteous. The purpose of the law, is to show us our shortcomings, to bring us to our Savior, and to teach us His holy ways. For that, look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 16 through 29, and in particular, verses 24 and 25. Which reads, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." Now this shows the position the law is in a believer's heart. "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified," that would be for the purpose, "that we might be justified by faith. Now, but after that faith is come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster," that would be the law. "No one can or does love the Lord God with all their heart or all their soul or all their mind or all their strength." So in other words, God asks of us the impossible. It is no more possible for us to do this than for dead Lazarus to come out of the grave by his own power, or for Israel to cross the Red Sea by their own power. Lazarus was dead and he had no power at all of his own. Now, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, this resurrecting power belongs to God. That power is not found anywhere in the individual who's being raised. A person cannot raise themselves. Even Houdini, the magician and escape artist who thought he could escape death, found out that resurrection power did not belong in himself. The perfect law can only be fulfilled in us by and through Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. "He will do the impossible through us by His grace." In other words, it is God in us who both wills and to do of his good pleasure. It is God in us. This all does not come about by our good pleasure or our will or power. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It is all God. He would do the impossible through us by his grace alone. God demands total devotion to himself, as we've seen in our Mark chapter 12 passage. The second part of the great commandment demands loving others. The word neighbor is defined as anyone whom we have any dealings with at all. Not just people who are like us, or people who like us, or whom we like. Now this is seen in the lesson found in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37, this is the passage concerning the Good Samaritan. Godly love is indeed charity. That is, it is undeserved. It is an undeserved gift. It is not earned, nor can it be earned ever. God's love cannot be merited by your good works or your good faith or your good prayers. There is no magical formula to cause God to love you. God's gifts are of grace, unearned, undeserved, and free. Romans chapter 13, verse 8, loving one another is owed by us and is the fulfillment of the law. 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21 states that godly love is evidence that we are his. If you are doubting your salvation, look to see if the love of God is in your heart. Godly love is evidence that we are his. If we are to love a neighbor as ourselves, that love should not be to our detriment, since we are to have love for ourselves also. When one side of the equation outweighs the other side of the equation, sacrifice occurs. Now that equation reads like this. On one side of the equation is love of neighbor. On the other side is love of self. So love of neighbor equals love of self. When one side of the equation outweighs the other, sacrifice occurs. John chapter 15, verse 13. Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. While we're here mentioning Romans, take a look at Romans chapter 7, verse 2 and 3. Paul pictures us as being dead to the law, that we might not be under the law, as a woman is free from the bonds of marriage if her husband dies. The church, that is the group of believers, the church is married to another, that is Christ, and therefore the law is abrogated except for the moral law or Ten Commandments. As Calvin puts it in his comments on Romans chapter 7, verse 3, he says, "We must never imagine that the law is in any way abrogated in regard to the Ten Commandments, in which God has taught us that what is right and has ordered our life, because the will of God must stand forever. So we must never imagine that the law is in any way abrogated concerning the Ten Commandments. Along with this quote here is the quote here from Calvin's Institutes, Book 2, Chapter 7, Section or Paragraph 13, which is the law is perpetual. Let's take a look at that real briefly. And this is what it reads. This is rather interesting. He says, concerning this topic, some unskillful persons, from not attending to this boldly, discard the whole law of Moses and do away with both of its tables, imagining it unchristian to adhere to a doctrine which contains the ministration of death. Far from our thoughts be this profane notion. Moses has admirably shown that the law, which can produce nothing but death in sinners, ought to have a better and more excellent effect upon the righteous. When about to die, he thus addressed the people, quote, "Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life." End quote. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 46 and 47. If it cannot be denied that it contains a perfect pattern of righteousness, then unless we ought not to have any proper rule of life, it must be impious to discard it. There are not various rules of life, but one perpetual and inflexible rule. And therefore, when David describes the righteous as spending their whole lives in meditating on the law, Psalm 1, verse 2, we must not confine to a single age, that would be the Old Testament, an employment which is most appropriate for all ages, even to the end of the world. End quote. Now there's a couple of sections of the law, which is the basis of American law as well as others, and this is what is called Lex Talionis, capital L-E-X, capital T-A-L-I-O-N-I-S. And that part of the law is simply stated as the eye for an eye clause. If you take a shoe for me, you owe me a shoe. That's kind of a rough analogy. And also, there's the law of retaliation, which simply states that the punishment must equal the crime. The punishment must equal the crime. It must be a balance. So you have the eye for eye clause and also the retaliation clause. Those are two main parts of civil law. The law was ordained by angels, Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. This is a good doctrinal point here. The law was ordained by angels, Galatians 3:19, and is ministered to those who shall be heirs, Hebrews 1:14. So in other words, those who are heirs of salvation, God ordains the angels to minister the law to, so that they might be brought to Christ. Doctrinal point number two, one should meet Moses before Christ to know why Christ died. In other words, you don't get the cart before the horse. You need to know, a person needs to know what Christ died for, and he died for their sins. Well, what is sin? Well, sin is the transgression of the law. Doctrinal point number three, because of Christ, not Moses, we are heirs. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And we are chastened, Hebrews chapter 12, 6 and 7, unto biblical salvation. Biblical salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Biblical salvation only comes through the Word of God. Finally, and one last important point, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And without the law, there is no love. Love is the fulfillment of the law, and without the law, there is no love. Without the law, there is only lawlessness. So we, as Christians, do not throw the moral law out. In other words, we honor our father and mother. We are not thieves. We uphold the truth. We don't covet. We're not to covet other people's things, property. So you have to have a moral balance in the law, not just in the negative, but also the positive. If God says, thou shalt not steal, the other side of the negative would be, thou shalt be charitable. And that pretty much concludes the summary of the law. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you'll be with us and teach us your word and bring wonderful things out of your word and to us and cause us to rejoice in it and help us to be obedient unto your word that we might bring forth fruit and honor thee. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.